Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 201. Dan, how you doing this week, buddy? Pull up a stool.
Hey, how you doing, Doug? Pretty good. The weather has broke. The humidity's out to sea, and it's very spring-like up here in New England today.
Yeah, a little bit nippy when I took my trash out this morning, but it felt good. But it's sad. Like, I love this time of year, but it's like the prequel to old man winter.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
It's state of depression. I'm okay till Christmas.
Yeah.
Once Christmas Day is done and New Year's, I want to cry.
Yeah, and you get 2 or 3 months of nothing till the spring comes. But I don't know. I kind of like this time of year, though. I like it better than spring. I don't know why, but just the cool days or the cool nights, and it still warms up during the day. It is a great time of the year, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why Florida is so inviting to me. December, January, and February, that's how it is there.
Right.
I could live with that year round.
Yes.
I hate the cold is depressing me already. But to move on from that, we just glazed over show 200. We got a lot of thank you, a lot of tweets out there. I got a couple emails on our email account of congratulating us on 200 episodes. And me and you didn't even make a big deal of it. So we want to thank everybody.
Yes, absolutely. It was nice to hear those kind words or read those kind words. But we've been so booked lately with guests and shows and stuff, we just kind of lost track of it and didn't even acknowledge it, but it is a pretty significant milestone, and I would have never thought we would have lasted that long, but here we are.
Well, that's you. You keep us. I'm Mr. Positive. You're Mr. Negative, yeah. And that's how we keep this show flowing. Am I right, Dan? Off the air.
Yin and yang, right?
Exactly. But no, dude, congratulations on 200 shows.
No, it is, like I said, it is a great milestone. And, we've come a long way and learned a lot. And, our audience is growing by leaps and bounds. So it's all good. And, every show, we just get bigger and bigger. And it's a good feeling. And we have a lot of new listeners, and we have a lot of old loyal listeners that even, go back to when you and Scott were doing the show way, way, way back. So it's all good, and it's great to see.
Oh, absolutely. I've been enjoying every minute of it. I just wish all the people that tweeted us and sent us messages on email and talked out, could one of you guys please go over and give us an iTunes review? They're so hard to get. I know it's a pain in the butt. I went in to give one the other day to a show.
Yeah.
And it's a pain in the butt. It's like you got to go through 3 different pages to get to where you want to leave a review. So
yeah,
I get it.
It's just one of those things, And if you know what you're doing, it's 3 pages. If you've never done one, it can be even a little bit frustrating because it's not necessarily clear as to what the path is to get there. But if our listeners out there could make the attempt, we'd be forever grateful.
Absolutely. And then speaking of the Great Wall, I watched the other – I don't know if you've seen this yet. It's called The American Experience. It's on PBS. Have you seen that, two-part on Disney?
I watched the whole thing. It was awesome.
Absolutely. We did, too. I was going to call you about it, but I knew you were busy and going nuts. And me and my wife actually watched it the second part this morning because I recorded it.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I had tears in my eyes at the end. I was welling up. Now, don't tell any of my construction buddies out there because they'll beat me up. But I got tears in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, at first I wasn't that excited about it because, I we've talked about
We've
this.
seen this
Right,
stuff.
we've seen it. I told you I have the Disney Treasures, Walt documentary, and there's been a couple of documentaries done on Walt, and I thought I saw all the pictures and all the video footage, but if you watch the PBS, what
American
is it,
Experience is
American
called. It's called
Experience?
American Experience Walt Disney.
Right. I mean, there was some footage in there that I had never seen. I mean,
Me
I'm
too.
yeah, and and it was just a different perspective. I liked the way they did the movie and not the movie, the music rather. It just was. I was almost enthralled. I like seeing it for the first time. I wasn't bored at all, which I not that I would be bored, but if it was just the same rehash that I've seen probably 10 times in my lifetime, I probably would have recorded it and not watched it. But once, even the beginning of it, the way they, made the presentation, it just, I don't know, it just, I was hooked right in as soon as I saw the opening 2 minutes of the show.
Absolutely. I mean, the way PBS did it, I applaud them. It was awesome. I can't wait to watch it again. It's something because I have it on the DVR. It's something I'll pop on from here to, because I would like to see some things again. Just seeing Disneyland being built was incredible to me.
Right.
And 6 months back then,
Oh,
I
that.
mean, 6 months back then, today I'd be told to have it done in a week.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of amazing, how quickly, relatively speaking, how quickly. I mean, 6 months is nothing. We're waiting 6 months for permits to clear to do, build Star Wars land, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that cracked me up during it too, they had a plumber strike going on during it. Did you remember that part? It was funny as heck. He goes, the plumbers came off strike and they were opening the next day or whatever, and they go, do you want the toilets fixed or do you want the fountains working? He goes, the people can drink Coca-Cola, guys, but they can't pee in the streets. And I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, and then even the interaction, I remember, he had a tough relationship with his father and stuff, but just seeing some of the footage and how, he wasn't going to be that guy, and I don't know, it was an awesome presentation. And what was it? It was full 4 hours, right? It was
Oh,
2 hours
absolutely. And
each
then
night.
even when they were doing the whole spiels and trying to get you to buy stuff and all,
Right.
they were still giving you a lot of information during that.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mind the sales pitch as much because it was telling me something about him.
Right. Now,
Now,
if you haven't seen it or anybody that DVR'd it, like you said, Doug, definitely watch that because it's well worth it. I was very, very impressed and entertained by it. And like I said, I've watched almost everything and read every book on
me too.
Walt Disney that's in existence. So to see something new and just a different perspective, not a different perspective, but they went in depth, I think, to with some things. They didn't just gloss over them, even with the strike and all that, how it ripped Walt's heart out and he had the nervous breakdown. And again, I had read that, but just the way they presented it was just an awesome
It
show.
brought it off the page. Even though you read it, it was nice to see it. I
Right.
mean, they kind of did. They did the book justice. They did his life justice. They made even what I already knew more informative to me,
Yeah.
if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
and they didn't sugarcoat it. I mean,
No.
they talked about he had a public persona, and he was also a he really drove his team, and at times seemed not to care or think about him, but he was just so intense and wanting to make these movies and stuff that I don't know. It's just a complex guy, I guess, is how
Well,
I'd say it.
think about it. Anybody who's, you have to be that driven and be that way to be able to get accomplished what he got accomplished. I mean, he had a vision and he wanted it through, and that was his, he needed that. That was his end game. It was what he needed to get done. And the thing that cracked me up was one of the parts where they said he would cough when he'd walk down the halls.
Right.
And it was before he was sick. He would just do that to warn everybody he was coming. He'd give them a heads up to make sure they were doing what they were supposed to
Right.
do.
It's almost like he didn't want to make an awkward situation if they weren't working or they were goofing off or something, Yeah, that was interesting. And
The boss is coming. Here
yeah,
I come. Yeah,
exactly.
and then there was other sad things like, and I knew this wouldn't happen. I was joking with my wife, like when Walt was in the hospital at the end, and he said his feet were calling, and his brother Roy kept his rubbed his feet and kept his feet warm. Now that's a true brother. My brother would have brought out a Bic lighter and lit my foot on fire.
Yeah, but it is interesting though, because they really did butt heads, you know, with Roy being the you know, the financial guy, and you know, the worrywart, and the guy, you know, don't do it, it's too risky, and you know, Walt being the exact opposite, didn't care about money, he just cared about the creative side of things. So you're right, they butted heads, but I guess, you know, in the end they did have a brotherly love for each other.
Yeah, Don would have been bringing out the campfire matches. He'd have lit my feet on fire. But, you know, and it was nice. And it was like hearing about, like, we all knew this, but Disneyland was supposed to cost $5 million, end up being $17.
Right. Yeah, and what was the part, too, and I don't think it had to do with building a Disneyland. I think it was to get financing for one of the movies. He told his brother, even if you have to sell my car, the car he had there.
Exactly.
You know, and that was a big deal to him. I mean, you know, that car was beautiful, and I'm sure he scraped together, you know, as much money as he could to buy it, and he went all in. Yeah, I forget if it was Snow White or one of the other.
Yep, Snow White,
I think
it was.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, that's real stuff, you know?
Absolutely, and it showed him taking loans out on his life insurance policy. I mean, he had a dream, and the other thing that amazed me was it was awesome to see, like, Mary Poppins with the world premiere at the Chinese theater there, the theater.
Yep.
And it goes to show you, I mean, people need to respect the theater more at the studios. I don't think it gets the respect that the others do, and it's actually a real landmark.
Right, right. Yeah, what movie was I watching? It was just in a movie I was watching. What was it? Oh, it was one of the Marvel movies, one of the Captain
America.
No. Downey Jr.
What's his face?
Iron Man. Yeah. But I don't know if you remember, but when they would do the terrorists there, the fake terrorists, as he ended up being, that's one of the places where one of those guys that was catching, you know, they would heat up and explode. It was the Chinese theater was shown there. So it was kind of weird to see it, you know, on screen in the Marvel movie. And, you know, we have a replica down there at the studios.
Absolutely. I think that needs to get – I don't think it gets the credit it deserves. I do miss the hat, but I love the view now. I mean, not having that there, intervened, nothing in the way, a
right.
Clear view down Main Street, down Hollywood Boulevard's incredible to me.
I hope they keep it. I mean, I suspect for special events we're going to get the stage like they had up for Frozen, and that's fine. I'm all right with that, but I hope they keep that sight line. It is beautiful.
The thing I'm hoping for is once the park is reimagined, that they'll have another place to put that stage, is what I'm hoping for. Not have to put it in front of the
right.
Theater. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be that would be the best case scenario. But like we keep saying, with everything we know and think at this point, unless they, you know, expand the footprint of the current, you know, studios, that might be tough. I think every square foot of land is going to be, you know, at a premium, I guess.
Okay, they could take down the buildings over there where American Idol used to be and stuff like that, and put up a nice stage next to the theater.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do that, because it would be nice to keep that nice
sightline.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
It's awesome. I just, it gave me newfound love for the theater when I watched that show last night with Walt out there with Mary Poppins and showing the world premiere, being there and the whole nine yards. It really took me back. It's like, man, I need, and it looked, I mean, the way it's regaled or redoing it now, it's going back to its root, like with the spears that they fixed and everything else, the new painting. The new one at the studios looks as regal as the original did on that documentary.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it looks great during the day, but especially at night, the way they have the light, you know, the lighting just makes it pop.
I'm just so happy that with everything being done, that it's like 99% now that it's going to stay there because of all the money they've been putting into it. If they were going to get rid of it, they wouldn't have dumped this money into it. So I'm so happy it's still going to be the centerpiece of that park.
Unless we see a picture that they've painted it gray or something in a couple of weeks, like they did to the animation.
That's right, so eerie looking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we're going to see a lot of that as we go. But like we discussed when we talked about that, I think that's just a placeholder, because I'm thinking that Star Wars stuff is going to be over on the other side of the park. But
yeah,
we could be wrong.
Yeah, I just think it's right now a temporary deal
Yep.
there, I hope. But and then just imagine if Walt would have lived, could you imagine what all his dreams were for Epcot, what that would have been?
Oh yeah, Epcot, I don't think would be anything like it is. I mean,
No.
as you know, he wanted an actual working city as the model. Yeah, if you go on the TTA, the People Mover, you look over to the left when you go in that first dock tunnel, if you will. That's more in liking with what Walt's vision was of Epcot, would be a place where people would live, work, play, and transportation and all that stuff would be would be within what he was describing as Epcot. And it turned out totally different, but again, things after his death just this is the way that the Imagineers that were left and the people running the company at the time thought they could respect the ideals of Walt, but go in a different direction. But I totally agree with you, Doug. It probably would be nothing like today's Epcot.
No, because the one thing he was talking about in the show, because Bob Gurr and Marty Sklar were talking about him, and all these other animators and dress designers, it was so nice to see all these different people. And they had different people on this one than the other ones I've seen. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, there were some people that I had never seen talk. I mean, you're right, they tend to have the same ones. And let's be honest, as the years go on, there's less and less of these folks that actually worked with Walt that are around. So it's precious to get these folks to talk about this stuff, because pretty soon there won't be anybody left that was worked with Walt Disney himself.
Absolutely, it was awesome, and just to see them talking about it, like they were even talking about Epcot, where Bob Gurr was saying that Walt had a, it was Bob Gurr or Marty Sklar was talking about Walt even had his bench picked out where him and Lily were gonna sit and relax every night. It was
Right.
awesome to hear that behind the scenes stuff, and then they were saying that General Motors and Ford and GE were all gonna have companies right in the middle of Epcot.
Right.
That was like awesome, like hearing them talk about that. Could you imagine, like there was going to be no cars, it was going to be all inside shopping, so the weather would never get to you.
Right.
It was wild to look at that. And you, I mean, just thinking about living in that community would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it would be. And like you said, with his passing and relatively young, who knows what could have been or what would have been if he had stuck around another 15, 20 years or something. It'd be all different.
Absolutely, and all I can say is imagine, well, God bless Walt, and thank God we had him, because imagine he changed this country, he for the best. I mean, if it was, imagine if this world, if we didn't have Walt as an American hero,
Right.
the difference there would have been.
Yeah, I mean, and you say he changed the country, and that's true. He went through all that stuff with communism. He testified in front of, Congress or whatever it was. And if you think about all that, and he was, and again, we lose sight of this, or at least I do. I mean, he was beloved worldwide. I mean, over in Europe and countries all across the world, loved his movies and they knew who he was. I
Sure.
mean, if you remember during the strike when he went down to South America, I mean, he was like, it was like the Pope was coming or something, the way he was greeted and, just beloved.
Yeah, but just the, and you're right, but with his movies, the cartoons, the animation, the parks, just the way he changed everything. If it wasn't for him, Barnum and Bailey would still be running the amusement parks and
Right.
stuff throughout this country. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. We wouldn't have the beauty of the two part, everything has changed because of what Walt's vision.
Yeah, and he went bankrupt. I mean, think about it. He a couple of times in his career, I mean, totally wiped out and had to start all over again. I mean, he had Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and because he was not really a businessman, he didn't have the rights to it, and he lost that. And luckily, Mickey Mouse was born out of that. But I mean, think about if you had, a character like that, and that was your meal ticket to, potentially, put food on your table and do all these great things, and all of a sudden they just take it from out from under you. That had to, be that, most people probably would have just gave up and been devastated,
But
but he turned that into a positive.
that's what made him so great. He had that can-do attitude.
Right.
And that's what made him what he was, and that's what his parks still have. I mean, it's just the aura you get. I mean, I still believe that the parks still live and breathe through his ideals. If that's just my opinion. I mean, I thank God that he was one of his children and made this country. He was an American hero, in my opinion, for the way he helped mold America.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why I believe he was the first one that PBS did, why they chose him, because, they're going to do others and different people that influenced American history. But certainly he was a major player, in American, early American history. And,
Did you ever see that documentary on the History Channel, which me and my brother-in-law loved? We watched it. It was on Carnegie Hall, the Rockefellers. It was the men behind the country about the iron and steel and the builders of this country. Have you ever see
Yeah,
that?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen that one, Doug.
It was awesome. And the only thing I didn't like about it, my brother-in-law loves it. He would watch it every time. It showed how the Rockefellers and the steel and the train company, everybody, the great builders of this country. And I was so sad that I thought that Walt should have been part of that,
Right.
because he was one of the great innovators of our country, in my opinion. I think he kept Americans happy. Well, I don't think, I know he kept people happy when things were really, really sad.
Oh yeah, when the World War
Wars.
going on and all that, and they commandeered his studio lot, and they started making the cartoons for the war effort and all that. I mean, that's pretty amazing that they just come in and what do they call that, eminent domain or whatever, and everybody pitched in across the country for the war effort, but so did Walt and in his studio as well, and it's just pretty amazing.
It was an amazing documentary. If you get a chance, it's called The American Experience, Walt Disney, and it's on PBS. Check it out. So,
Absolutely.
I just wanted to get on my soapbox about Walt a little bit. I let you join me on it, buddy. We had a good time, and
Yeah. It's always a good thing.
it was better than yesterday. I worked all day fixing my van, so I came in and seen that Walt Disney special. It was awesome, because I started watching it last night, and then we finished it this morning. But nah, I had a week where I have four vehicles. In the last 10 days, I had to fix all four of them. Ain't that wonderful?
Usually things happen in threes. You got four, though. That's even that's worse.
Yes, I had my work van. The air conditioning compressor seized up on it. And this is right after 2 months ago, I put a new serpentine belt on it, so it ripped that to shreds. So that was $50. And then 280 on top of that for the compressor. Me and my brother put that in yesterday. We had a great time doing that. Well, the only reason I had to do that was because when that it got towed home, because I'm the only person in the world that could coast into a garage and they tell you we don't know how to we can't fix that. Have you ever gone to a garage where they tell you they can't fix something?
Not that I can recall.
No, they couldn't fix it. It's in my van. So I had it towed to my house, because my mechanic that I usually use, he was on vacation on a trip that I sent him to Disney World.
You cut your own throat there, huh?
Yeah. So we ended up going to I had to get it towed home. So I got it towed home, and you can't drive it because with the serpentine belt off, the pumps shot, the electrical shot, the brakes, everything, nothing works. So you can overheat and blow the motor.
Right.
But so that's sitting, so I'm using my work truck, and the water pump goes on that. So I had to get that dropped off too to my other mechanic, and he fixed that. And then I had my wife's truck from the horrible winter we had, and it's my that truck's new, and the exhaust tailpipe rotted on that because of all the grime, the brine that they put down on the road.
Oh, yeah, just rots it from the outside in, probably, right?
Yeah, everybody should be careful, because I know like 10 people now around here that has brake lines been eaten from that. I had a lady that has a 2015 Explorer, which is hers is newer than mine.
Right.
That one of her brake lines already rotted out because of the brine, the way it's set on there.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, you need the salt and brine and stuff, but I mean, it does a number on metal, as we know.
From things I read, because our state is so cheap, in New Jersey, we pay the highest taxes, but we got the cheapest politicians. That we use more brine than Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota combined,
Wow.
because it's cheaper than salt. But it rots stuff away. That's why our roads are literally like. I think the back roads of Alaska are better than my normal highways here in New Jersey with the potholes and everything. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
And then my wife, we gave my mother-in-law a car. We got her a car when we bought our Explorer. We gave her our car.
Right.
And here my wife uses that, and the rear brake, the brake line from the brine went on that. So it's been that wonderful week for me.
Is that like a liquid, the brine that goes down as a liquid, or?
It's the stuff, they spray down on top of it is what I think it is. It's just the mixture that they put, but
Right.
this rots the bottom, it rots the stuff off your cars.
Yeah.
My brother had a brake line go. I had brake lines go on both my trucks, my work trucks. Lady Mrs. Zimmerman, so there's, I know at least 10 people that had to have brake lines replaced because of last winter.
Wow, that's almost unheard of too. I mean, usually cars have undercoating and it's enough to, keep that at bay, or at least while you own it anyways. And once you get out past 7 years, then, you're on borrowed time anyways, but
Yeah, this Explorer 2015 of my friend Miss Zimmerman's, and hers had a weep in it.
oh,
So
man.
just be careful. This is a what do they call that when you're trying to help people out?
Public service announcement.
There you go, Dan. Thank you, buddy. So, do you want to get into a little news, my friend? How was your week? Everything good over there?
Yeah, things are fine. We're
There
at
you go.
30 days now for our trip, so I actually got to order my Magical Express. I forgot, so I got a that's on the to-do list today.
Yeah, well, if you'd have booked through me, that would have been done. But being your DVC, I can't help you there.
I know. You would have had it done weeks ago if I went through you, which would
I'd
have
have
been
had
a
it
good
done.
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have had it done the day it was booked.
Yes, I didn't have my flight though. That's why I, not that I procrastinated, but I booked the flights late, so I didn't have that information. But I will do that today.
And your daughter's still staying at Coronado?
Everything, nothing's changed. She's been checking too every day, but nothing's popped. So it looks like that's the way it's gonna be.
I can't get anything, and to continue on that track, I have had multiple people now. I've prices on people wanting to go down because of the Osborne lights going away.
Yeah, in fact, I think we were talking off air about the our buddies at the WDW Northeast podcast, and Mike from that podcast, he's seriously thinking about doing a solo trip or some sort to get down there before the end of the year. He's distraught over the Osborne lights going away, so he's trying to squeeze a long weekend in between now and the first of the year.
Nah, I hear you. It's sad, but it's one of those things. It's not my maelstrom. I
Right.
do love it, but it's not. But like my one buddy John, he works and on the with the union with me. He's a good friend of mine, and he calls me up and wants a surprise, trip for maybe something with the Osborne lights because the wife's crying her eyes out. Now nothing's
Right.
booked yet, but he's worried about her not being able to see it. You know what I'm saying? So now they're thinking about a surprise. And then I had a couple other friends of mine wanting prices to go down because, one friend's never seen it and wanted to. Kind of like,
Yep.
if you've seen it, have you been
No.
down there before?
No.
So you've never seen it because you've always been there still when the fall decorations are up.
Correct. Correct.
You've never got to be there at that cutting edge.
Right.
So yeah, he wants to go down because he had never seen it before, and it's amazing. It really is, but it's not as long as it's been there and as nice as it is, it's not one of my it's not Spaceship Earth or Illuminations. It's not one of my
Right.
favorites. But I get it if it is because it's that good.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their things that they'll, die on the hill for, if you will, to use an old military term. But yeah, we all have our things that we just are crazy about, and there's other things that, we enjoy and we like. But it's all good if it goes away, I guess.
Yeah, my thing is I would miss if they ever did away with the candlelight processional and stuff like that. I enjoyed that more than the Osborne lights. Like,
Right.
I enjoyed the Epcot Christmas more than the Studios Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they all have a different feel, and it just I was just thinking just this morning I signed a petition. I mean, it's just like for what is it, Shears, whatever it is, the band there, Mold,
Yeah.
Sweat and
Mold,
Shears.
sweat, and shear.
Yes,
Mulch, sweat, and shears.
there you go. Thank you. But
Say
no,
that three times
right.
fast.
But yeah, I can't say it once. But it's just like with the off-kilter stuff. I mean, that had a lot of buzz for a while, and that kind of went away, and that you don't really hear about it anymore. But here again is an act that, again, I enjoy them. I would watch them, a couple of songs here and there, and it's just something that I've grown accustomed to seeing at the studios over the years. And not that I don't think I'll miss them, but it's just a familiar face or a familiar thing at the studios that I know next time I go there, it's not going to be there. And it's just, you have a sense of loss. And, I'm sure it's for good reason, and, something better or just as good
No, it's
will
just like
come
the
out of
Dapper
it.
Dans. It broke your heart with them too.
Right, exactly. And, we lost the Fife and Drum Corps at the American Adventure Pavilion, or the
Yeah.
pavilion there. I mean, all these things. And, who knows what might be on the other side, something spectacular or whatever. But it's,
Lumberjacks.
I haven't heard about those lumberjacks in 2 months. You just ruined
I have to
it.
tell you, that might be the worst thing I've ever seen on Disney property, that
I can't,
lumberjack show.
I mean, I'm assuming they're still there. I mean, I've
I haven't
literally
heard
heard,
anything. I haven't
nothing, good
heard
or
peep.
bad.
No, and I admit, I am, and I might be yelled at or screamed at for me, but I miss I don't know, what you would call it, off kilter a little more than the Osborne Lights, because off kilter was there every single trip I went.
Right. Like you
And
said,
I have memories of that and stuff like that, and there, because it's special to me. And I understand, because I know a lot of people go Christmas, especially locals. I know it's going to break their heart that Osborne's is gone, because I know it's something that people, a tradition.
Right. Yes, exactly. Or like I said, just familiar things, the more, just like at Disney Springs, it's nice to be in the old marketplace, where the Disney pin traders and, where all those things are in
Christmas
that
tree, old
area.
Christmas shop and all.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, you walk out into the waterfront, and if you don't even know where you are, it's all new. And it's exciting, but it's not, doesn't feel like home because it's just so different. Not that it's good or bad, it's just different, and kind of like the hub, when we're talking about the
Absolutely,
hub.
but now my duckies had to find a new place to go.
Exactly. I mean, we were all so used to, the front of the Cinderella Castle being the way it was, and now it's totally different, and it is better, and pedestrian flow is better, and the parades can get around, but you just
It was getting to the point there, I get you. It was getting to the point though around the hub that it had to be done that way because there were so many people there all the time. It was also, I think, a safety risk. If everybody had to get out of that park or something, it's easier now. It's more open there around the hub. I miss the old way, but don't you think it's even easier to expedite people?
Oh, absolutely. And you're probably right, Doug. That's probably had something to do with safety. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they were opening up the alleyway behind Main Street to let people out,
Yeah, they have. I've done that before during parades and extra magic hours and stuff, but it's still if there's a problem, it's still everybody knows the way to go. Nobody knows that back way unless Disney guides you that way.
Right. And Disney, that gotta it really hurt them to do that, because they never, ever, ever want guests to see any
Backstage.
that's not, on stage
Pristine.
ready.
Yeah.
Exactly. So to do that, I know they let the runners back there when they, do the different
But
marathons.
it's all spruced up and there's nothing out of place, and it's
Right.
when the runners are going because they're prepared for
Yeah, I mean, I think I told the story before, Doug. I mean, in the studios, when I was a cast member for the Disney store, that was one of the great things when I went down there. As long as I had my company ID, I could go backstage, and I knew, or I still know, where all the exits and entrances are to get backstage. And it's just amazing. They're all just like alleys, and you got the dumpsters and all the stuff that you would see in any, city or municipality or whatever. Is, you wouldn't think in the pristine, studios that, you just 3 feet away is a grease dumpster and a regular dumpster and a recyclable dumpster, and you go back there and there's cast members that are, half dressed, if you will, or they're not quite in their whatever their role is. They could be custodial or they could be quick serve
Yeah, they're either
folks.
ending their shift or
Right.
beginning of the day, getting ready and.
Yeah, they might be sitting there smoking a cigarette or whatever, and it's just, it took me a while to get used to that, how quickly you could go from on stage to off stage, and it's, back to the real world almost, it's just, it's work and it's a
Little.
job, but, all those guests are having the time of their life 3 feet away, and, you just, like I said, you just go through this little, false gate, if you will. They kind of hide them so you
A
can't see them.
facade.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just amazing that all that goes on. There's a cafeteria back there where you can eat. I think I said this. You pay $3 for a soda. Sorry, Doug. Outside, if you're a regular guest, and I could go back and get one out of the machine for, at the time, whatever it was, 75 cents or a buck or whatever, and the same product, but because you were backstage, it was like real world pricing, not tourist pricing.
Oh, and he actually even a little bit special pricing because you're an employee. They gave you a little bit of a discount
Yeah,
on the stuff. They gave you probably a soda cost for 75 cents.
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and those people don't make a whole lot down there, so I'm sure that's part of what they did. And that's, yeah, and it was. Even the calf food was very, very, very reasonably priced. So I think you're right that, where they don't pay them in salary, they try to help them out in other ways, I guess.
Absolutely, and it's just weird. It's like I said, like I pick on you and Bob about Maelstrom and other things. There's everything in the parks have a different special. It's something that's special to you, isn't as special to me because it all depends on what you've experienced with your family and your visits down there. Like I don't know if on Maelstrom one time you and your wife had a moment, or like I told you with my dad watching Off Kilter, or different rides and stuff like that. So that's what makes everything special to us. We grew up at this with all of
Yeah.
our trips to Disney.
I mean, that's why you give me a hard time, but for the right reason. Stop going to the California Grill, go to Gigo, go here. And you're absolutely right. But on the other hand, we, like
It's the
I said,
memories.
I have so many memories at the California Grill. It's like going to my local diner almost here. We're so comfortable and we enjoy it and we like it. And you don't see it that way because, you've probably never had anything special happen at that particular restaurant.
Hey, speaking of that, like Le Cellier's that way to me. So I did to my wife last night. I did because we have this segment. We're gonna pop it in and out as we do our show from here on out. It's called Like It or Love It, Like It or Leave It.
Okay.
And I sprung this one on my wife last night. So you gotta love one, like one, and then leave one.
Okay.
And I hit her with Le Cellier, Rosencrown, and La Hacienda, St. Angelo's Inn in
Right,
Mexico.
right, right.
I hit her with those three. So if I hit you with those three, what would you do?
Love would be Le Cellier. What was the other La Hacienda would be the third one, the least.
Would leave it.
Yeah, leave it, and the
And
other
you
one.
would like Rosencrown.
Exactly.
So you would love Le Cellier, you would like Rosencrown, and you would leave St. Angelo's Inn.
Exactly.
Which me and my wife love all three of them, but it used to be, because we have so many memories at Le Cellier. I talk about Pop, I talk about trips with Mom, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law.
Right.
We've eaten there probably 20 times.
Right.
But all of a sudden, me and my wife both love Rosencrown now. We like Le Cellier, and we would leave St. Angelo's Inn.
So they flipped.
Exactly, even because now the last five or six trips, Rosencrown has started to make our memories. And the view out on the water, and some of the things that turn us on. We still love Le Cellier, dude.
Right,
It's
right.
our top five. But my point is, we gave something else a chance, and now it's actually taking the place of our other place.
Right, no, and that's very true. And how can you, unless you try something new, you'll never know. And we've all had to try things for the first time down there at Disney, we all were there at one point to make any memories at all. So it's a difficult thing. I mean,
Yeah,
like we
'cause
kept saying, with all these new restaurants and Morimoto's opening, and Jock Lindsay's coming on board, and the hangar's going to be opening, what, the 22nd of September, I
absolutely,
think.
Jock Lindsay's hangar is opening on the
Yeah, I mean,
22nd.
there's all these new restaurants to
New
experience.
memories to be made, and I get the whole thing, and you'll always always California will have a special place in your heart, but skipping it one trip, I'm telling you, ain't gonna
Right, no,
destroy you.
you're totally right.
And it's hard, I know, because we had to do that because we started eating at Le Cellier in '97, and we probably had 30 trips between '97 and say 2010. We never missed. We ate, I think one trip we might even eat there 3 times. In a 10-day period, we ate there 3 times. I mean, we loved it. We popped in. That was back in the day when you could pop in for lunch and not have a cast member laugh at you. And that's what started to turn me a little bit on Le Cellier, because you literally had the cast members laughing at you when you'd walk in.
What are
I
you
mean, it
like?
was like schmuck, like they were smug, like, oh, you think you could get a
Yeah.
hey, Alice, he thinks he could get a lunch reservation.
Look out
No.
there, and that's World Showcase case. Keep walking, pal.
Yeah, no, that we don't have one. But now, if I'd asked my wife that same question, love it, like it, or leave it, last year, before our trip, our last trip, she would have probably said Le Cellier. But I think the last trip, the 2 times we ate at Rose with her sister, and we've been down there with mom, and the first time we ate there was because we were joking about the bangers and mash. I could still remember we had a big table. There were 7 of us for mom's 75th birthday. And that started that 75th birthday. That one meal was just out of, we were getting there. I didn't have nothing booked for the, we got there the day early, so I had nothing booked for that day. So at the last minute, I seen the bangers and mash. I said, and I made a joke of it. And we ended up eating there that night. And did I know a family tradition started because of having an extra day there
Yeah.
and a last minute ADR.
Funny how that works out. Not even planned, just kind of spontaneously.
Absolutely. We had a long table inside by the back windows. I could still see us all sitting there around. It was our whole family, and it was an awesome beginning. And we were all just, we looked like after the drive, because we went there the first night we got there. After the long drive, we all looked like cannibals. Me and my brother-in-law and my godson Jimmy. This is good. This is good. Shoveling in the bangers and mash.
That's
But
funny.
I can remember that memory. So my point is that, I understand leaving it like you guys are Malmstrom and all that, but we are all going to make, hopefully, a lot more memories at the parks where things will change. 10 years from now, you might have the same feeling about the boathouse.
Yeah, you don't know, or maybe it will never become a, a family favorite or whatever. It might be, yeah, good food, but I don't like the atmosphere, or I don't like this, and you move on to something else. But until you try these places, I mean, even like Spice Road Table, I mean, I know we beat the drum for that restaurant, and others don't have as high an opinion of that place as we do, but I think it's a fantastic spot, and I really enjoy it, and I can't wait to get back there. But some people, it's not their thing.
I hear you. I'll do it. Love it, like it, leave it. The Captain's Grill, California Grill,
Oh, you, yeah,
and
Le
Le Cellier.
yeah, I mean, I'd go California, Le Cellier, Spice Road.
Okay. No, I didn't say Spice Road.
Oh, what was the third one?
I said Captain's Grill,
Oh, Captain's Grill.
California Grill, and Le Cellier. You have to love one, like one, and leave one.
I would, Cali Grill would be love. Like one would be, what were the other two?
Le Cellier and Captain's Grill. You got that short-term memory today, kid.
This ain't gonna work for me. Captain's Grill, I would put third.
Okay, so you would get rid of your breakfast
Yeah, I
place.
mean, that's a tough choice, but you gotta do it. That's, I guess that's the little nuance of the game, right?
Oh yeah, there's easy ones you could do. I could do easy ones. I could do Soarin', Test Track, and Mission Space with you, and that would be no
Yeah,
problem.
that would be too easy,
Yeah,
right. But
Soarin' will
when
be
you
love it, Test Track will be like it, and
right.
Mission Space will be get out the door and leave me.
Right. If you kind of get three items, or whether they're restaurant stores or whatever, that you really, really enjoy or like, that's one doesn't, basically one doesn't make the cut is what it boils down to.
Absolutely, because last night I did a Love It, Like It, Leave It with Brenda. I did a Test Track, Soarin', and Hall of Presidents.
Oof, that's
And
tough for you.
yeah, for both of us. But believe it or not, it was mine would be Love, Hall of Presidents, like Test Track, and I would leave Soarin'. And I was shocked. As much as my wife loves Soarin',
Right.
Soarin' was leave too.
Wow.
I was shocked by that. She was the same thing as me. Love Hall of Presidents, like Test Track, and leave
Soaring.
Soarin'. And they're three of our must-dos. They are not three of. They are three must-dos
Right.
every trip.
Yeah, but when you got to commit, one category to, it's somebody's going to lose out, I guess, is what it boils down to.
Exactly, but me and her both agreed Soren needs work done on it,
Right.
and they're finally going to do it.
Yes, we're going to get that third screen, and we're going to get a new movie. In fact, I don't know if you saw the clip of that, but they showed the filming of the new movie. Did you see that with the helicopter?
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, the camera's hanging from like a cable below the helicopter, and they happened to show, or the clip I saw, they were going over the Great Wall of China, and that camera, the helicopter is diving down right over the wall. It's, if you haven't seen it, when you have a chance, Google new Soren movie or something. It's only a minute long or something like that, but it's pretty fascinating to see the actual camera work just below the helicopter. That's all it is, or at least in this particular filming. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's what gives you the whole feeling of soaring, like hang
Right.
gliding.
Right, exactly. And now I get it. And I just, for some reason, I thought it was a different vehicle. I didn't envision a helicopter with a cable hanging down, but that's basically what it is. But it's pretty cool.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm hoping that, and I know they will, because Disney won't do this to us. I hope not anyway. Fix the other two screens too. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, the main screen for the attraction.
They'll just put a little masking tape on it. That'll be fine.
Long as it's white to match the screen, we'll be
Right.
okay.
Yeah.
So, you want to get into a little more news, buddy? Last couple things we have.
Yeah, there's just a couple things. Not a whole lot of news. And I think I've been saying this every week since D23. It's been news galore that's come out. But things have kind of slowed down, and it's more just updates. We mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that. The
Jock
hangar,
Lindsey.
Jock Lindsey's is going to be opening up, and the boathouse seemed to take forever to open, and once that the floodgates open there, all these other restaurants are quickly going to open up on its heels. So there's going to be multiple new dining opportunities at Disney Springs, pretty much this month, and going forward into early 2016. So it's exciting.
You're going to have one day of homework when you're down there, Dan, to go at least go through and take pictures and maybe a couple periscopes of the different restaurants while you're down there. We'll put you to work one day.
I think we were talking about this on a previous show. Even if we can't commit to a full meal there the day that we have our boathouse ADR, maybe we can just at least go through and maybe grab an appetizer, or just grab a beer or a drink, or something
Just
or
to
other.
soak in the atmosphere of each place.
At least to get inside, like you said, do a periscope or some Twitter pictures or something, but just to get a feel for it and experience some of it, because with the ADRs we already have, there's no way. And money wise, I mean, these are all, I'm assuming, are high-end restaurants. I mean, the Boathouse is fairly expensive compared to other well, I shouldn't say compared to others, it's as expensive as some of the higher end restaurants that are down there.
For
But
your, it's a signature dining price.
yes, and typically we don't do three or four signature dinings per trip. We usually do one, and the rest we fill in with more middle of the road
Rose
priced.
and Crown, Spice Road tables,
Exactly. So
Yak and Yeti. Oh, you haven't done that yet.
yeah, but I have an ADR.
Yeah, we'll see if you hold up to
Yeah.
it. I don't believe it until you pull through on that one.
I know. I don't have a good track record with that stuff, but I my intentions are to go there. They are.
Once you get the fried wontons,
Wontons with ice cream.
you'll be texting me from that plate, how fantastic they
Oh,
are.
I'm sure they will be. I have no doubt in my mind. Let's see here. Yeah, Rumor Mill Central here. That's all it is. But Toy Story Mania, third track to open much earlier than expected.
Another track for me to beat my wife on.
Yeah, I
I'm gonna
mean,
take her down and score, buddy. She's so competitive. She hates when she loses.
yeah. Everybody gets like that. Even people that aren't competitive. I think once you get in that thing and you start, you start shooting those plates or whatever it is, or the darts and different things, it just kind of takes on a, it kind of takes you over, and you just wanna, you wanna win.
I love the circle frisbees, man. That's mine. When you can just pull on that string, ding, 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 ding,
Oh
ding, ding.
yeah.
She gets mad at me how fast I can get them things to go. I told her once the arthritis sets in from the drywall, you'll be able to take care of me.
Right. You'll be useless as far as that goes. But yeah, maybe they can come up with a better. Well, I know why they do it the way they do. But you there could be an easier firing mechanism if they wanted to make it, right?
Yeah, I kind of like it though because I get the advantage.
Right. Let's see here. What else we got? Yeah, I mean, just early. What do I want to say? Reviews that have come in on this Hocus Pocus Villain Spooktacular at the Mickey's Not So Scary have been very, very positive, and that replaced the Villains Mix and Mingle. Yeah, the Hocus Pocus was a, I believe, a Disney Channel movie. I remember my daughter watching it all the time, and I know it's on around this time of year on the Disney Channel. They still play it. Who was in that? Bette Midler, I think. Was she? Yeah, she played one of the witches or whatever in that. And yeah, so everything I've heard is it's just a great show. So we're actually looking forward to seeing that when we go down for Mickey's Not So Scary.
So did you go out the other day and talk like a pirate to get free drinks and stuff like that?
No, I didn't. But yeah, that's interesting. They get this new, what would you call it? A game, I guess, where you get a card, and these cards will.
You're exploring for treasure around the Magic Kingdom
Yeah, little
in the yeah.
interactive type things. You scan the card, and this will happen, or that'll happen. Kind of like what they did in World Showcase with what
Dora the
was it?
Explorer.
Yeah, exactly. Where different things
Yeah, it comes
will
up as
move or
your
light up or talk to you. Yeah, so that that's all good. I mean, again, probably not anything I will do. I don't see myself doing it, but
Yeah, if I lived there, I would do it.
exactly. I
Yeah,
wouldn't waste again, I wouldn't waste park time doing something like that. But if you live there and you're looking to do something different,
you have kids, it's awesome.
Absolutely.
You have kids, it'd be an
Yeah, no
awesome
doubt.
time. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
what's
so
next, buddy?
that's
That's
I
about
don't
it.
yeah I don't really I mean everything else is oh the Narcosis to offer waterfront brunch later this year, so if
Well,
you're
that was
looking
all
at
done by me. After I purchased
yeah
Necrosis for Great Frontier, I said, why doesn't this place have brunch? I mean, it has a beautiful view right there on the water. You're looking over to Magic Kingdom and you can't get lunch or brunch there.
You can now, I guess. Yeah, later this year. So what's that? And there's only a couple months left in this year, so fairly soon you'll be able to get brunch. Again, oh, go ahead, Doug.
I put my foot down.
Yeah.
It had to be done.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I'll sound like a broken record here. I mean, if I had to make a list of 30 restaurants to go to, Narcosis would probably be 40th, and it's not fair, and I'm not saying it's not good. It's probably better than most of the restaurants I eat at. It's just Grand Floridian in general as a place, my mind never, ever, ever goes there. I don't see myself ever going to this brunch, but that's
Well,
just
the
me.
reason we don't go over there, and I'm not being smart, but my family feels like the Beverly Hillbillies when we show up at the Grand Floridian.
Right.
I
They look
just
at you
don't.
and say, "Yeah, the plumbing needs to be fixed down in this bungalow. Head down there, Mr. Davis."
Exactly. I just feel like, Beverly Hillbillies roaming around there. I feel like everybody's looking at me, and don't get me wrong, I dress nice. We dress clean. I just don't. I just feel out of place.
Where's the cement pond?
Exactly. I feel like I'm gonna be, I don't feel like Lovey.
Yeah.
And I know it isn't that way, 'cause it isn't. It's the facade that puts off, the
Right.
aura that resort puts off to me.
Yeah, but and you are right, Doug. But on the other hand, we're not the only ones that say that. Most of the people that I know in the Disney community and have this have a similar feeling about that place. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm a DVC member, so technically I own a a screw or something in that place, if that. But it's I don't know. Like you said, if you're living down there, it might be a different story, but I won't be going here anytime soon.
No, it just doesn't fit into my whole theming. And like I said, I don't know. It's weird though because the boathouse, I mean the Yacht and Beach Club, doesn't do that to me. And that's supposed to be upper crest too, if you follow me, is what we call, and not anything wrong or bad. It just there was something about the Grand Floridian feels like I should not. It's taboo. I shouldn't be allowed over
But
there.
yeah, and you are right. And I would say the yacht club is a little more, at least I feel, the beach club seems more laid back than the yacht club, I would
Yes,
say.
but the yacht club's a little stiffer, but still, the Cape May Cafe is good by me and all that area over there.
I mean,
The
but
Yachtsman's Steakhouse, all that stuff is good.
we go to Captain's Grill all the time, and it don't bother us. So maybe once you break the ice and just do it, and you get used to it. But
Yeah, I know everything's nice over there. The Grand Floridian Cafe is a great place to go over. They have great food there. They have great snacks and all. I can run over there. I mean,
darned.
and we always say to take the monorail over and enjoy it, but
No.
we just don't do it. I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
mean, we've gotten off the monorail and gone through all the stores, and we've roamed around there. I wouldn't say many times over the years, but a handful of times, and it's enjoyable. But we hop on and would much rather be, or I would much rather be at the Contemporary or the Poly, or jump off at the Magic Kingdom, one of those places, more than I'd want to stay at the Grand Floridian. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And because I feel the same way. If I would have been on the Titanic, I'd have been down below. That's where I'd have been put, So that's just how I feel. I mean, it's just, I want to, but I should enjoy that resort more because there's a lot of offerings, a lot of good things over there that are, it's Disney.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that bar room, I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, behind the band that plays up there on the second deck there. You mentioned that Lou did that dining review there with oh, I forget who he was with, but it sounded like they
Yeah, it
had some
was one of the
awesome.
ones they did the donation. I mean, they did the whole donation and
Oh yeah, that's right. That guy won. He had donated to Give Kids the World, and he got as a prize a dinner with Lou or
it's
something like
called
that.
isn't it Meisner's Lounge?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And I actually did go in there that time that couple of trips ago, I did a solo trip, and I called you from there. Not Meisner's, but I was at the Grand Floridian actually, and I took some pictures. That's when DVC was being built there, and yeah, that's it. I would definitely, based on the dining review that Lou did with all the different food and the drinks and all that, I would definitely want to pop in there at some point.
Yeah, one of these days we'll get to spend more time over there. It's just you only have so much time on every trip. So, but I definitely want you guys to come over to Great Frontier and enjoy brunch at Necrosis. There's a coupon for a free orange juice.
With your lobster bisque omelet.
There you go, buddy. But this has been fun again, Dan, and we'll do some more like it, love it, leave it on future shows. You,
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm gonna
we have
have to.
some other things coming up. We have some guests coming up. You have to do some homework on it.
I gotta write the name of the down and have it in front of me, 'cause I'll keep mixing up the words, but we'll figure it out.
You'll get it. It's a good time. I like stumping Brenda with it. I'll just do it to her out of nowhere. I'll walk in while we're cooking. Like it, love it, leave it. And she'll go, okay, what is it? But it's fun. But it's been great having you on again, Dan. Thanks for 100 or 200 episodes. We just hit 201, and hopefully another 200 coming soon.
Yeah, exactly. And like you alluded to, we have some guests coming up soon and different shows. And we'll, like we've been saying, we're going to have friend Bob from All In WDW on, and we got a lot of content coming up, so stay tuned.
Yeah, round six of the draft and a
Oh
bunch
yeah.
of and food and wine coming up, and we've been having a good time, Dan. So we'll be
No doubt.
we'll look out for some fun shows. Well, I hope they're fun. We
Yeah.
think they are.
We have fun
Yeah,
anyways.
so okay, guys, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate that. And we'll talk to you guys real soon. Later, Denny.
Okay, have a good week.
I paid. You snuck out. It's okay.
Okay, I'm
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.